This is, as you know, the men's club Shabbat, and so it seems an awfully appropriate time to talk about what it is to be a man. This is also, these days, a fairly controversial topic when there are such things as gender studies in universities, when a Harvard professor writes a book called Manliness, which is very widely reviewed and in very disparate tones, some people approving and some wildly disapproving. And it is worth asking ourselves what it is that Judaism teaches about manliness, about being a man, what virtues and vices it sees as peculiar or at least as characteristic of men, and in what way this ties in not only to it being Men's Club Shabbat, but in some ways to the Passover holiday. So let's begin by thinking about it historically. Not just that there were very different and distinct roles for men and women historically, roles that in our own day are subject to all sorts of modifications that make it confusing to figure out what it is to be a man or a woman in the 21st century, but also specific terms and ideas characteristic of the civilizations through which Jews passed, such as virtue. Virtue, or virtu, V-I-R-T-U, as it was known in the Renaissance, is supposed to be a specifically male characteristic derived from the Romans that combines somehow the martial virtues, that is, being a warrior, with also what we might call being a gentleman. That is, you play fair, but you are ruthless simultaneously. And it was just this kind of characteristic that Machiavelli in the Middle Ages, in the Renaissance, wrote about, the ways in which the clever ruler can deploy both the reality of virtue and also the appearance of it to succeed. And it is perhaps no coincidence that the professor who wrote this book, Manliness, Harvey Mansfield, also wrote books about Machiavelli. Because that idea, the idea that there is some special cunning and power in men, especially in ambitious men, is something that does, in fact, weave a consistent thematic thread not only through Western culture, but also through Jewish culture. Let's think of some examples, especially biblical examples, of characteristic Jewish men. And I don't only mean the universal men with which we begin, such as Adam and Eve. Adam, who shows none of the qualities of a man, and Cain and Abel, who show the violent qualities of a man. But let's, for example, begin with Abraham. Abraham, who clearly demonstrates strength and over time starts to learn what it is to be a husband and a father, is a good beginning model of Judaism's teaching about what it is to be a man. But it may be more illuminating, rather than take Abraham, whose story is long and complicated, to take two clear models of different poles, different sides of the continuum of manly virtues. On the one side, we have Samson. Samson is distinguished by what characteristic? His strength, right, which comes from his hair, but it's his strength. And so in one way, Samson embodies, quite literally embodies, what it is to be a man. He is not only strong, he's unconquerable. He is the Jewish Achilles. Also, by the way, with a weakness, just as Achilles had. And if you remember, Achilles is characterized by his childishness and his rage and his petulance, that is, his pettiness, as well as by his strength, and so is Samson. Samson is a strong adolescent. And that's why, up to the very end of his life, he has a succession of discreditable episodes, things that he does that aren't really worth it. He gets fooled. He's deceived. He goes out on killing sprees just to prove how strong he is. He marries unwisely. And then, in the end, redeems himself by using his strength to destroy the Philistines, at least those Philistines that have enslaved him. And here is Judaism's example of the way in which you can raise a child or create a man to have the appearance of being a man, but in fact have the heart of being a child, of never growing up, of power without responsibility, of strength without maturity. On the other side of this continuum is Aaron, who becomes the high priest. And Aaron's experience is not that of strength. It is that of reconciliation and of kindness. Remember, Aharon is the one who would go to different people, the Midrash tells us, and he would say to one person who was fighting with the other, you know, your friend wants to make up with you, even though it wasn't true. And then he would go to the other person's house and say, you know, your friend wants to make up with you. And so the two of them would come together thinking that each was in fact sorry when Aharon had arranged the whole thing. This shows at least the maturity of understanding of peace, but what Aharon lacked was strength. That's why he becomes the person who builds the golden calf. Because when the people say to him, we need this calf, and according to the Midrash, he has seen them kill Hur, who opposed building the calf, Aharon crumbles and says, all right, if you really need the calf, then I will build it for you, at least until Moshe gets back. So you have, on the one hand, in our tradition, an example of a man as strong and an example of a man as a peacemaker, as gentleness and as kindness. And where do they come together? Moshe. Moses, we think of as a tower of strength. Remember what Moses' first public action is. He kills an Egyptian who is beating an Israelite. And his second public action is to break up a fight between two Israelites. Moshe clearly is strong, but his strength, unlike Samson's, is not the strength of ego. Do you remember how Moses meets his wife? He meets his wife because she and her sisters are trying to water their flock, and a bunch of shepherds are harassing them and preventing them from doing it, and Moshe single-handedly chases off the shepherds and helps them water their flock. And the interesting thing is that when they come home and talk to their father about it, they say, we met an Egyptian. Well, Moses isn't an Egyptian. But he didn't tell them who he was. He just did what needed to be done and went on his way. Moshe is not about ego. He's just about strength. When he is told by Yehoshua, by Joshua, that there are other people who are prophesying God's word in the camp, Eldad and Medad, what does Moshe say? I wish all of God's people were prophets. Moshe embodies Shakespeare's line that it is excellent to have the strength of a giant, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant. Moshe is strong, but he is gentle. He's principled, but he's not unbending. In the Jewish tradition, we really do have models of what it is to be a man. The first time we see Moshe, what is he doing? He's crying. And the very last moments, according to the Midrash, what is Moshe doing before he dies? He's crying. And so is God, who weeps to take the soul of Moshe. We don't have models of unfeeling, stoic, distant men as our ideals. The Jewish hero, he's not made of stone. He's made of flesh. He's not unfeeling. He weeps. But he is not weak. He's strong. And that notion of somebody who has principles, who is feeling, but who is strong, is embodied in the word with which we counsel our children. What do we tell the Jewish child to be? You don't say to a Jewish boy, you should grow up to be a tzaddik, a righteous person. You hope for that. But that isn't the baseline that we demand of our children. We say, I want you to be a mensch, a man. B'makom she'ein ish yishtadel liyot ish, says rabbinic literature. In a place where nobody is acting like a man, it is your responsibility to act like a man. And here, man has a very specific meaning. And it is not even restricted by gender. It means a mature, responsible human being. It was, in fact, the lack of that quality that made the Israelites wander in the desert. According to our tradition and to the Midrash, it was, in fact, women who stayed faithful to God when men betrayed God at the golden calf. And so it took a generation to produce some men who could lead the way into the land of Israel and redeem our people. It is a very confusing time to be a man or a woman, because social expectations and ideas that have existed for thousands of years have started to shift. And that makes everybody feel as though the foundation under our feet is uncertain. But those qualities that define what a man should be are in fact enshrined in our tradition. Maurice Samuel, who is an English scholar and teacher, wrote an autobiography called The Gentleman and the Jew. And in it he talked about the fact that when he was young, he used to see the gentleman as the ideal. The person who fights and dies with a smile on his lips. The hero in movies, the Errol Flynn hero, the Shakespearean hero, the Byronic hero, the one who characterized English culture that they exported to the world. And then at the same time that he grew up with that, he also saw the ideal of the Jew, who took life seriously, who studied, who learned, who sometimes walked through the street with a bent back, not upright, whose smile was the smile of a self-reflective joke and not of thinking the world was absurd. But in time, he started to realize that there was a heroism in the Jew as well, that there was a model of being a man in those figures whom he used to see shuffle through the streets of London. Just this morning, before I came into services, I was looking through an anthology called Mimayanei Netzach, From the Eternal Wells, and it told the story that I thought epitomized what it is to be a Jewish man, about a Hasidic rabbi in Russia who was threatened by the government and told to stop teaching. And the soldier held a gun to his head and said, aren't you afraid? And he said, no. Because if you have many gods and one world, it makes sense to be afraid. But if you have one God and two worlds, there is no reason to be afraid. In other words, he was a person of conviction and of strength and of thoughtfulness and a man. When we teach our children, and I hope we do, what it is to be a man, when we learn on this Men's Club Shabbat that part of being a man is learning our tradition to pray, to sing, to chant, to read, we will turn to all the many examples of Jews throughout the years who have struggled with the definition of what it is to be a man in God's world and have understood that it is strength with gentleness, that it is feeling with conviction, that it is laughter, and that it is love. Shabbat Shalom.